Acharya means one who teaches by example. Lord Krishna installed Prabhupada as such a great acharya within this world to teach by his example. What was his priority? Anjaladuta, crossing the Indian Ocean, the Arabian Sea, the Atlantic Ocean. He went through all those oceans, Bay of Bengal, Indian Ocean, Arabian Sea, Atlantic Ocean. He crossed three oceans practically. On a cargo ship, heart attack, seasickness, living in poverty in the ghettos of a violent criminal city, addicted to so many vices, with not a single devotee to associate with in the whole, within 10,000 miles. Why did he do it? Because it was the order of his spiritual master. It was his priority. Srila Prabhupada wrote in his diary on Gaur Purnima, 1966. He had no followers. He had no place. He had nothing. He was having programs, and sometimes 3-4 people were coming. And he was ecstatic because 3-4 people came to hear about Krishna. And one time about 6 people came and they liked prasad, and he was so excited. Now here we are, insignificant servants, and there's over 1,000 people. Here's the Jagat Guru Paramahamsa Acharya. 2-3 people are coming. He writes in his diary, sometimes nobody would come to his programs. One devotee donated a tape recorder, and when nobody came to the program, he just had kirtana lecture to the tape recorder. He was enthusiastic to preach. Meanwhile, his godbrothers and his well-wishers were saying, come home, Swamiji, there's nothing there. It's impossible. You're too old, it's too cold. But Prabhupada made the order of his spiritual master the priority in life. He writes, today is Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Mayapur and in Vrindavan, my godbrothers and the other Vaishnavas are in temples with festivals, with so much satsang, kirtan, pravachan. I am here, 10,000 miles away from the nearest Vaishnav, all alone. But I am happy, because it is the desire of my spiritual master to preach here. That is the example. We cannot imitate. But if we want to make proper spiritual advancement, we must follow in the footsteps to make our priority in life to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate. However much our egos naturally have conflict with others, our intelligence must curb that tendency and create a mood of cooperation, because that's what pleases Guru and that's what pleases Krishna. Devotees take vows to chant at least 16 rounds to follow the four regulative principles, to assist with the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To the extent that we make this our priority, to that extent we will attract Krishna. If we make anything else a priority, we are cheating ourselves of this rarest jewel of the purpose of human life. So Krishna was angry with Yashoda because she made the milk on the stove a priority over giving him the milk that she was drinking. So he decided to do nice mischief. So he, the butter pot that she was churning, he broke it and ate butter. Haribo. Then he escaped. Of course, the butter was all over the floor. He escaped into another room. After Yasoda Mai took the pot off the stove, she came running back to serve Krishna. But Krishna wasn't there. And she saw a broken butter pot and butter all over the floor. But no Krishna. Where is he? But then she saw these little tiny buttery footprints. And she began to follow. She's the original detective. She began to follow the butter footprints into another room. And she looked in the other room, and there she saw Gopal. He had turned over a grinding mortar, stood on it to reach and get the butter that was hanging from the rafters on ropes from the ceiling. And he was eating the butter. And Krishna called the monkeys to feed the monkeys. Jiva Goswami explains why. Because in his previous incarnation as Lord Ramchandra, monkeys performed such selfless service to him. Hanuman, Sugriva, Anga, Surasen, these monkeys, they surrendered their lives to help him bring Sita back. They fought massive war, even being chewed by the mouth of Kumbhakarna, standing before the entire Rakshasa army with all of their latest missiles and weapons. They, with great effort, they built that bridge across the Indian Ocean to Sri Lanka. So Krishna was saying, I never gave them anything in return, but today I will repay the monkeys by giving them Yashoda Mai's butter. So in this way, he was feeding monkeys. And Yashoda Mai saw. She was smiling. She picked up a stick. Because she wanted to educate her child in the proper way. Prabhupada told Gurukul teachers, never hit the child with stick. If they're naughty, you just show them the stick. So Yasoda Mai was going to show Krishna stick. But the monkeys saw her. And they all began to run away. Meanwhile, Yasoda Mai was watching Krishna. As he was feeding the monkeys, he kept looking this way and that way in great fear. His eyes were constantly moving in a very startled way. And when he saw that she was coming toward him, he just ran. How he was running with his little feet and his little legs. He was running and running, and Yashoda Mai was running after him, and they were, it was such a beautiful chase. Who can catch Krishna? Krishna's faster than the fastest. He's the power of the speed of the wind. He's the power of the speed of the mind. As Yasoda Mai was running after Krishna, the flowers in her hair were thinking, she's going to capture Krishna, our worshipable one. We do not want to be a part of this conspiracy. We do not want to participate. So they were jumping off her hair in order to not be part of this deed. Ultimately, Yasoda Mai caught Krishna by her love. Gopal looked at Yasoda Mai and his limbs were trembling. His heart was throbbing. Tears were pouring from his eyes, mixing with the black cudgel decoration. causing black tears that were flowing and decorating all the limbs of his body. His lips were quivering in fear. Queen Kunti prayed that Krishna is feared by fear personified. An expansion of his expansion is Lord Narasimhadev. He was so fearful that Brahma, Shiva, even Lakshmi could not approach him. And here is Gopal, weeping, trembling in fear of Yasoda Mai. Simple gopi. Now, the acharyas explain, what is the nature of these qualities of Krishna when he's fearful of his mother? Is it just a show? Is he pretending to be fearful? Just to make a good scene? No. Actually, he is afraid. Only in Vrindavan does the Lord manifest his full opulences of sweetness. During these pastimes, there is a characteristic of the Lord called Mugda, which means the Lord actually, by his own sweet will, is conquered by the love of his devotees. And that conquering of the love of devotees actually puts him in a state called Mugda, wherein it appears that he forgets his own supreme opulence. He's actually completely afraid of Yasoda. But simultaneously, he is Sarvajna. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sarvajna means he's all-knowing, he's supreme. He knows every devotee's prayer in all the universes, in all creation. It's not just the Paramatma that hears the prayers of a sincere devotee. It's Krishna, personally, in Goloka Vrindavan, that hears our prayers. So simultaneously, he's fearful of Yashoda, that she may hit me with stick, and he's crying, and he's weeping, and his lips are quivering. And at the same time, he's all-knowing and all-powerful, and conducting all of his various energies, which are sustaining, maintaining, creating, destroying all material existences, and sustaining all spiritual existence. Yoga Maya, Mahamaya. Krishna allows himself to come under his own Yoga Maya potency, while simultaneously is the supreme controller of that potency. Why? Why does he do that? Just to taste the unlimited sweetness of the love of his devotees. And to share the highest ecstasies of love with his devotees. This feature exists only in Vrindavan. Not in any Vaikuntha planet. Only in Gokul. Only in the spiritual realm of Goloka does Krishna manifest the most complete ecstasies of love. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada, reveals Krishna's mind. He said, I am not attracted to the love of a devotee that is crippled by understanding my supreme opulence and power. Krishna told Uddhava that all the Vedic hymns praying to me, all the great Brahmins offering me prayers, they do not attract me as much as when the gopis of Vrindavan chastise me with harsh words. Because it is out of that spontaneous love. Love that is so deep, so profound, that Krishna's friends, although they know he's the supreme absolute truth, their friendly affection for him overshadows that understanding. Nanda and Yashoda, they have realized the supreme opulence of the absolute truth, but Krishna has given them such intimate parental affection that knowledge they have of Krishna as the controller of all controllers becomes so insignificant it's forgotten. What to speak of the love of gopis? He is our lover. So Krishna, in this fearful state, he confesses to Yashoda. He says, "Mother, I did it! I did it! I stole the butter! Please, put down your stick! Please! Do not harm, do not punish me." Now you know, when you go into court, if you want leniency, you plead guilty. If you plead not guilty, and you're found guilty, the judge is going to crash the law on your head. Yes? But there's something called plea bargaining. Plea bargaining means, I did it. But the fact that I admit I did it, and I regret that I did it, please give me a lesser penalty. Please, please. You come before the judge. That's the way Krishna was pleading for mercy from Yashoda Mai. So Yashoda Mai put down the stick. She did not want to cause fear to Krishna. Yashoda Mai had other chores to perform. She wanted to protect Krishna. He was such a restless boy. What may he do? So she decided to tie him to the grinding mortar. So she got rope. The same rope that they use to tie the backs of the cows. Here in Vrindavan, they still often milk cows by this process. Sometimes cows kick when you try to milk them. Have any of you ever milked cows? Please raise both of your arms if you have milked cows in your life. Keep them up, keep them up. Please raise your arms if you have never milked a cow. There is certain castes within Braj Bhumi where they consider you're not truly a Brijabasi unless you take 1 year of your life to just herd cows. Even Brahmins, even shopkeepers, business people, even some politicians, 1 year, sometime out of their life, they have to just use it to take care of cows. Then they're truly Brijabasis. So for those of you who have milked cows, you know that sometimes they kick right at the bucket. And it's amazing how each cow is such a unique personality. They're such personal people. Special, special people. At New Vrindavan, for about 6 years, I was milking cows. And oh, such personal relationships you have with cows. We had some cows who would just never kick. There was one cow named Draupadi. She would just stand, and you'd just take the milk. And she would just, ah. And Kaliya. Ah, Kaliya was the original cow of the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada personally named her. Little cow. Black fur with white dot on her head, and she only had one eye. Such a sweet little cow. For about 15 years, she gave a calf every single year for Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And was always giving milk. Sweetest milk. In 1969, when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, he drank Kaliya's milk and proclaimed that this was the best milk he had drank in 40 years. He loved Kaliya. And 8 years later, 7 years later, in 1976, when Prabhupada came up to the Brahmachari Ashram, Nityodita Prabhu was fanning Prabhupada with a peacock fan as Prabhupada was taking his morning walk up the road, and actually blocking the sun with a peacock fan from Prabhupada. And Kaliya was down in the pastures. She had not seen Prabhupada because he hadn't been up to that farm since 1969. 7 years later, when Kaliya saw him from way down in the pastures, she came running up and walked for the rest of the morning walk right beside Srila Prabhupada. There's even photos of that. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, do you know who this is? Prabhupada said, yes, this is Kaliya. She is my old friend. Ah, how Kaliya was so sweet. She just... To be the first cow of Srila Prabhupada, named by Prabhupada, she must be some sort of Surabhi cow that has descended into this world. And when she left her body, there was a painting of Krishna Balaram, the poster made by Muralidhar Prabhu. That beautiful, actually the Krishna Balaram deities in Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan were designed from that painting. Where Krishna and Balaram are standing together like this. Balaram's arm is on Krishna's shoulder, yes? One time Prabhupada in Krishna Balaram temple said to a devotee, asked, who is stronger, Krishna and Balaram? And the devotees obviously said, Balaram, he is the elder brother. He takes pleasure in great strength. He said, no, Krishna is stronger. You know how I know? Because Balaram's leaning on Krishna. So she left her body with her eyes gazing upon Krishna Balaram while she was listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. But there were other cows. There was Bela. Bela. Her pastime was she was like a sharpshooter with her back legs. She would move it like lightning right to the center of the bucket, right when you're just at the end of milking. She would never kick at the beginning. Right when the bucket was full. She would just go, psh! And then once it was in there, she would just go, psh! And the bucket would fly to the back of the room. Very difficult. We used to have to milk her. We'd have all these techniques to block her kicks. We'd just block it and take the bucket away and then put it back in the bucket. Then there was Satya. Has anybody here ever milked Satya? If you did, you would never forget. She would not aim at the bucket. She had lightning fast legs. And that rear leg always aimed right to the head of the cowherd boy who was milking her. Or any limb she could get. Nobody wanted to milk Satya. That's why they told me I had to milk Satya. I was a new devotee, so new devotees have to do it. Nobody else likes to do it. It was one of my first services. You milk Satya. I was thinking, is this new Vrindavan or new Kurukshetra? Fighting this battle with Satya every morning, I would dream about it. And the problem was, she had these, the way the milk come out, the udders, she got her udder caught in thorn bushes. So it had all kinds of problems, and the milk came out so slow. Like Kali was, psh, psh, psh. We had one cow. Would you like to hear these stories? There was a cow named Himavati. And Himavati had a daughter, a calf named Saraswati. And Saraswati gave 150 pounds of milk a day. How many liters is that? Huh? 70 liters a day, one cow, Saraswati. There's a photograph of Prabhupada. He came into the barn and the cows were being milked, and he saw Saraswati's milk bag. He was amazed. It was about this high and about this wide. Literally. There, and she was a big cow. I could practically walk underneath her. I had to bend down, but I could do it. And there's a photo of Prabhupada with his cane touching the milk bag of Saraswati, and you could see he just has an expression of amazement upon his face. So when you would milk her, two people at a time, one on one side, one on the other, and you would just squeeze. And this thick, hard current would just pour down. You just squeeze. Each was about this big. You just go, as milk would just pour down. And the milk bucket would just literally be going like this. Almost that speed. Within about 1 minute, the bucket would be full and you'd have to trade for another bucket and another bucket. She would do like several buckets each milking. And she would kick too. But Satya. You'd have to milk her with two fingers. And she'd have a lot of milk in her. But you just squeeze it as hard as you can, sometimes three fingers, and it would just trickle out like drops. It wouldn't even come in a stream. It would just come out in droplets, like... You'd just go... You'd be squeezing like this, and it would just go... And this one, you'd be squeezing as hard, squeezing, and it would just go... Little drops. And meanwhile, you know in her mind what she's thinking. It would take about sometimes 40 minutes to milk her, to battle. But still, she was Krishna's cow. So we accepted that she was very merciful. Radha Vrindavan Chandra was manifesting very, very great purification through his beloved Satya toward cowherd boys. So cows are people. Very well. So in Vrindavan, to solve this problem, they sometimes tie the rear legs of the cows with ropes. That way they cannot kick. Now, at New Vrindavan, these Western cows, you know, they're passionate like Western people sometimes. So we read this in Krishna book, that Krishna and Balaram and cowherd boys, they would have ropes on their shoulders as they'd go out to herd the cows. And Prabhupada says those ropes were to tie the legs of the cows when they'd milk them. So we were thinking, this is the answer. Let's just get these little cowherd ropes just like Krishna and Balaram and tie these cows' legs. We tried it once. Never again. I was the first one to try it. I'm under the cow. The cow's legs. They can't kick one leg. She kicked both her legs. And because she kicked both her legs, she fell right on top of me. I was being crushed. I had to call for somebody. And she couldn't get up because her legs were tied. So I said, untie her. She was a big cow and she's on top of me. And somebody untied her and then somehow she got up. And then she looked at me. And with her glance, she spoke very clearly, "Do not ever do that to me again." So Yashoda Mai got ropes for tying cows. And she decided to bind Krishna to the grinding mortar with that. Jiva Goswami explains that because the grinding mortar was an accomplice to Krishna in stealing butter, because he was on top of her, using her to get up, therefore she would be bound as well. But as she put that rope around Gopal's waist, it was two fingers too small. She got more rope and tied it. It was two fingers too small. She got more and more and more rope. The news was spreading. However much rope Yashoda Mai was putting around Krishna, it was always exactly two fingers too small. So this was a wonderful event. So many gopis from all over Gokul were coming with all their different color ropes. And they were handing them one after another to Yashoda. She was knotting them and putting, always two fingers too short. It was a festival of ropes. Because who can bind Krishna? Within his belly are all the universes. When Mahavishnu inhales, the entire cosmic manifestation enters into his belly. Who can bind the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But the mystical wonder of this pastime is the ropes were getting longer and longer and longer and longer, and his waist remained exactly the same size. Yashoda Mai was perspiring. Her sari was becoming loosened. She was working so hard, although she was smiling with amazement as all the gopis were singing beautiful songs about Krishna's glories. When Krishna saw how much Yashoda Mai wants to protect me out of her love, he allowed himself to be bound and tied by the ropes of the parental love of Mother Yashoda. And thus he became known as Damodar. one who is bound by the waist by the love of his mother. You remember Vishnu Gada Prabhu, the Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party. There was beautiful brass deities. They just called them Radha Krishna. And they decided to take them out preaching. They put them in a bus and tied them by the waist so that as the bus was going, the deities would be stable. So they told Srila Prabhupada that we're traveling in a bus with Radha Krishna deities and we're doing preaching programs all over America. And we're holding Krishna. Is it all right? They asked, is it all right if we, with ropes, we fasten him by the waist to keep him? And Krishna said, yes, this is very good. I give them the names Radha Damodar. Prabhupada explained that out of the love, out of the rope of the love of his devotees, he was traveling in a bus to give his darshan to so many hundreds and thousands of people all over the United States of America, bound by the love of his devotees. Satyavrat Muni offers his obeisances to that rope of Mother Yashoda's pure, unalloyed love, which bound Krishna. That happened just here. But as Yashoda Mai went to perform her chores for Krishna's pleasure, Krishna wanted to do more mischief. So he, although just small child, began to crawl. And as he crawled, he was pulling this big wooden grinding mortar used to grind spices. So as he was pulling, he saw two Arjuna trees. Sukadeva Goswami, he describes how these two Arjuna trees came here to Gokul. There were two sons of Kuvera, who was the treasurer of the demigods, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. Very arrogant people. Very high birth. They were demigods. And they were very wealthy. They were the sons of the treasurer of the demigods. They were beautiful bodies. They had magnificent wealth. They were powerful. They were famous. And they were proud. So they wanted to enjoy. And by their opulences, they attracted so many beautiful young heavenly women. And one time, in a lake, they were swimming with these ladies without any clothes. This is a type of sense gratification they wanted to enjoy. At that time, Narada Muni, he came walking by. And the ladies, they understood that this is an aparad to be naked in front of Narada Muni, so they got out and covered their bodies. But as far as Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were so intoxicated with false pride, they didn't even show any respect to Narada Muni. They didn't even acknowledge his existence. But Narada Muni is very merciful. So he cursed them. Big demigods, but you show no respect to others. I curse you. You're fond of standing naked? Then you stand naked as trees for thousands and thousands of years. Rivo. Srila Prabhupada explained like that. That if people... Prabhupada once went to this Morning Star Ranch. in Northern California, and people were naked there. Yes, Malati Mataji, you were there. People were naked. And Prabhupada said they will take their birth as trees. And what? Malati Mataji said the first person in that place to meet Prabhupada jumped out of a tree like a monkey. And he was wearing nothing but the four directions. The only thing covering his body at all was his beard. And that person became a devotee. He's still a devotee in our movement today. He's one of the great famous preachers. I will not mention his name. It's not Vishnu Gadara myself, though. But it's someone. In fact, you all know about him, too. He became a devotee. What a merciful benediction, Prabhupada. Like Supreme Narada Muni. This person would have become a tree. Now he's going back to Godhead. He's saving other trees. So Narada Muni gave him the benediction that they would become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj here in Gokul Mahabhan, where they would actually be purified by witnessing the pastimes of child Gopal. They were standing as trees for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Not an easy thing. And then Gopal came and took birth here. And they were witnessing his beautiful pastimes. So Gopal understood that Narada Muni, my dear devotee, he bestowed his mercy on these trees. Therefore, I must give them my mercy. Srila Prabhupada explains in this way, this is the love of Krishna for his devotees. That anyone, a Vaishnava, bestows mercy upon, Krishna will never ever forget that. Narada Muni gave this curse and benediction to Nalakuvera and Manigriva, what, about 10,000 years before. They were just standing as trees, but Krishna, in his little baby form, remembered. Narada Muni has sent them here. Because Narada Muni was merciful to them, I will bestow my mercy upon. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paichi Kepa. Unless we get the favor of a Vaishnava, Krishna will not consider bestowing his mercy upon us. That we must carefully consider. Sometimes there's devotees who are very dear to their spiritual masters. Amongst Srila Prabhupada's disciples, there are devotees who really, really gave the best years of their lives to perform great austerities to help him. And Prabhupada loved those people. And sometimes those devotees, due to past bad habits, sometimes due to offenses, sometimes due to inattentiveness in their sadhana and in devotional principles, they temporarily lose their spiritual intelligence and fall away. And even act in ways that are very difficult to comprehend. But you know for sure Krishna will deliver them. Because Prabhupada bestowed mercy upon them. Krishna will never forget anyone who pleases those devotees who have given their lives to his service. This is a grand example of how Krishna always reciprocates with his devotees' mercy on other living beings. Madbhakta pujabhyadikar. If a devotee prays for us, then we know Krishna will deliver us. So thinking in this way, Gopal pulled the grinding mortar so that it got blocked between the two trees. And he was in between and he kept pulling. The rope around his waist was pulling the grinding mortar, but the grinding mortar couldn't come between those two trees. It was blocked. So Krishna just crawled another inch. Tumultuous sound! As these huge Arjuna trees that were towering to the sky were uprooted from the ground and fell. It was a massive sound. It shook the earth. He didn't break the trees. He uprooted them. And Arjuna trees are famous for having very, very deep, solid roots. Our dear godbrother, Dinabandhu, historically, he tells the story every year in his dramatic performance way. But because he is not here, you are suffering with a substitute. But he explains he was in Mauritius and he saw these Arjuna trees. There was a cyclone in Mauritius. It knocked down every tree except the Arjuna trees. They're so strong. So when Krishna wants to show his strength as a little baby, he takes the strongest, powerful rooted trees in the whole world, Arjuna trees, and uses that as an example. As those two towering trees fell to the ground, two shining, effulgent personalities came out from them. With folded palms, they offered obeisances to Krishna. Krishna asked, "Who are you?" And they explained. And they revealed to Krishna that now we could understand that Narada Muni is so merciful to us, causeless mercy. For their offense, they had to suffer standing as trees for a few thousand years, but the result was the ultimate benediction of the personal association of Lord Krishna. They were completely purified by seeing his leelas. They surrendered their lives to him, circumambulated him, offered prayers, and with Krishna's permission, they returned to their heavenly abodes. According to Thakur Bhaktivinod, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva represent the anartha of arrogance for aristocracy and madness for wealth. This arrogance from having high birth, wealthy family, is a very, very great disqualification. Uddhava was coming from the very high aristocracy of the Yadu dynasty. Of course, he was a pure and humble devotee. But when he came to Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada explains, he was amazed to see how totally unsophisticated and simple the Brijavasis were. So simple. It is that simplicity, that humility that attracts Krishna's heart. Duplicity. Duplicity is part and parcel of false pride, arrogance. We have to counteract that. Because when you are proud, you think yourself great, you think that you're entitled to certain position, to certain respect, you even think you're entitled to engage in various sinful activities. That's what power does to people. What is it said? Absolute power corrupts people absolutely. Power is so corrupting. Look at some of the dictators of this world today. That's a type of aristocracy. Being a king, being a leader of a nation. There was Hitler. He had the aristocracy of being the Führer, the sole exclusive leader, like a king of his whole nation. And he could speak with such power that people would just surrender to whatever he said. And what kind of power, what kind of arrogance? He thought that he was entitled to just blaspheme anything, anyone he wanted, even torture and kill them. Stalin was a dictator of Russia. According to records, minimum 25 million people in his own country he murdered. Just infatuated with power, with this aristocracy that I am the leader, I am great. So even as Vaishnavas, we should understand, when there's pride, the next thing that happens is we offend others. We think we have the right to make offenses. We think that I am entitled. There you are. It is said that Krishna is more resplendent than tens of millions of suns, so we should get used to this little sun. But the difference is Krishna's his unlimited effulgence is very cooling, it's soothing and pleasing. So when we are proud, we think we're better than others. We think we know more than others. Even we start to think, I am more spiritually advanced than others. I understand the Siddhanta greater than others. I have performed so many years of devotional service. Therefore, I have the right to make judgments against others, to criticize them, to speak harshly toward them. You see, in the material world, aristocracy means high position, high power, high birth, high wealth. But in spiritual circles, aristocracy sometimes is being in a high position. A president, a GBC, a guru, a temple commander, a Sankirtan leader, a bhakta leader, somebody who scrubs the floor nicely. Maya can creep in anywhere and make us proud and think that I'm better than others. But when you're proud, then you start making judgments. And then you start thinking, I have the right That was Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Here's Narada Muni. We are the sons of Kuvera. Why should we put on our clothes? Sometimes we think we're so advanced we don't have to chant our rounds. We think we're so advanced we don't have to follow the regulative principles. We're so advanced that Trinadapi Sunichena Tadorapi Sihishtuna Amani Namana Vena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that verse, I've already fulfilled that verse. It's behind me. And even if I transgress it, by the power of my austerities, by the power of my devotional service, by the power of my knowledge, Krishna will certainly see that as a priority. We become delusioned by false pride. And we offend great souls. And when you offend great soul, it is mad elephant. You see this, that was a big tree at one time. When mad elephants, they can just put their trunk around a huge tree and just pull it and uproot it. What to speak of when they come into your little garden of little tiny devotional creeper fly growing. So we should not offend. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught we should never offend Vaishnavas. In fact, we should never offend anyone. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you just do two things, you'll go back to Godhead. Just chant Hare Krishna and never criticize or disrespect anyone. That's all. Does it sound simple? Sounds simple. But the only way to do that is Trinadapi Sunichena Toror Ivasihishu Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhana. So we must pray to Lord Gopal to uproot these demons of Manigriva and Nalakuvera. This demon of false pride due to aristocracy or madness for opulence in this world. When Nanda Maharaj and the gopas, they heard this, they came running. Meanwhile, Krishna's cowherd, Krishna's little friends, they gathered around. And they saw these two gigantic trees laying on both sides of Krishna. And they tried to untie him, but they couldn't untie him. Then Nanda Maharaj came, and he was able to untie. Because Yasodamai bound Krishna with the rope of Vatsalya Ras. And the boys with Sakya Ras, they couldn't untie that knot. But Nanda Maharaj had that parental affection. So he had the capacity to untie. And Nanda Maharaj had Krishna in his arms. And meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, she came running. What happened? What happened? And she saw these two big trees, both fallen, just hardly inches away from Krishna's body. What a miracle, they were all exclaiming, that it didn't crush our beloved Gopal. However, the little children said, we saw what happened. He just pulled that grinding mortar and pulled, and it knocked the trees down, and then these two effulgent, shining personalities came out and bowed down and offered prayers, and then went into the sky. And the gopas and gopis, how can we believe these little children that some these things can happen? So Yasoda Mai came running. She was frantic. Can you imagine a mother, her child in such a predicament? And little Krishna would not even look at her. because she was the one who bound him up. And her heart was shattered. Nanda Maharaj said, "Will you? Your mother has come." Gopal said, "I'll stay with you. I do not want to be with my mother." Such an arrow of pain into her heart. It was worse than death. She was just crying, rivers of tears. And when Rohini Devi told Krishna, "Yashoda is just laying on the ground weeping. She feels that she has hurt your heart." And Krishna jumped off Yashoda Mai's lap, Nanda Maharaja's lap, and went running. "Mai, Mai, Mai." And when she heard him, she got up and he jumped into her arms. And she fed him the milk of her love. After this, Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, and Nandan, they all approach Nanda Maharaj. Very, very difficult. So many problems are happening here in Gokul Mahavan. There was that Putana. Then there was Sakatasura. Then there was Trinavarta. And now these big, big, big trees are falling. This is a very, very dangerous place. We should go to a safer place. The forest of Vrindavan, where there's Govardhan Hill. So at that time, Krishna was 3 years and 4 months old. He resided right here for that time. And they packed all of their belongings on carts, and it was pulled by oxen, and with the cows and the bulls, they traveled from Gokul Mahavan into the forest of Vrindavan. Every night at Krishna Balaram temple we were singing Damodarastakam. Our acharyas have blessed the world with many, many beautiful, beautiful commentaries and realizations from this Leela. Satyavrat Muni prays in the Damodarastakam, "I do not want promotion to the heavenly planets. I do not want all kinds of mystic powers. I do not wish even to be promoted to Vaikuntha. My only prayer is these beautiful childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna may forever be reenacted within my heart." Let us offer this prayer. Krishna does not manifest in our heart due to any mechanical process, but in reciprocation to our sincerity, our dedication. So let us pray today in this beautiful Goshala, in the Mahaban forest, that we could always be bound to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in dedication. Dedication to following his instruction of sincerely chanting the holy names, reading his books, discussing Lord Krishna, and assisting him in making Krishna consciousness available to more and more and more suffering persons. Krishna's mission is to make the unfortunate fortunate in this world by always remembering him through chanting the holy names. So let us pray that we can sincerely take shelter of Krishna's names, sincerely be eager to hear his glories and his teachings, and that we may always please him, birth after birth after birth, in the spirit of the humble servant of the servant of his servants. When one sincerely adopts this consciousness, then at the time of death, Krishna manifests himself as our last thought. And then the eternal soul within the heart is transported to that material universe where Krishna is performing his transcendental pastimes. And there we are perfectly trained by Krishna's eternal associates in our eternal service to him. And when he winds up the pastimes in that universe, we are transported to our eternal position in the spiritual world of Goloka. Prabhupada promised us that if we just chant sincerely every day, according to our vows, follow the principles, and sincerely work according to his instructions, that we will go back to Godhead in this very life. Prabhupada's promise is none different than the promise of Narada Muni. Narada Muni promised Nala Kuvera and Manigriva that Krishna will deliver you. In disciplic succession of Sri Narada, Prabhupada as his representative have given us a promise. Krishna will not allow that promise to go in vain. Let us pray to always remain faithful in that spirit of sincerity.
Kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhyaeva cha potitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah.
Thank you very much. Please forgive me if I talk too much.
Govinda jaya jaya gopala jaya jaya Govinda jaya jaya gopala jaya jaya Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda jaya jaya Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Actually, the reason I spoke so long is this is such a charming, beautiful place. Here in Mahavan, right in the place of the cows. Do you see all those many, many cows? This is where they give their milk to Krishna. These beautiful kalpa vriksha trees. Such luxurious chintamani dust covering everyone's bodies. Is everyone happy here? From here, we will go to the place where Lord Sri Krishna pulled the grinding mortar. He actually got bound up here. This is where he was bound by Yashodamai. But we will go to the place where he delivered the twin Arjuna trees. And it is said the same grinding mortar is still there. We will not stop there because there's so many people. We will accept the blessed darshan of grinding mortar, then we will go to Raman Reti Ashram for prasad. I finally said something to please your heart. Very well. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai.